Hey, everybody, this is Maggie. And my show, The Unsolicited Opinion, can be heard here on AM 1360 WNJC every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. You know, Barack Obama wants to redistribute the wealth. Well, I disagree. I think you need to earn what you get in life. So join me, because I'm going to be redistributing the truth one word at a time on The Unsolicited Opinion here on WNJC
1360. People who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic, and we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie, and welcome to the administration. I wish I was the administration. If I was, I can tell you the United States would be a hell of a lot different than it is right now. Welcome to The Unsolicited Opinion. Boy, I guess it's probably a good thing this is the last day of 2010, huh? Hey, a hell of a year. I have a great guest lined up tonight, and I'm real excited about having him on. And I am going to tell you who he is in a couple of minutes, but I wanted to give out some contact information first. As always, you can reach me through my website, which is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. So contact me there. As always, I am heard on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. as well on this radio station, and at noon on Sundays Eastern Time, micro1650am.com. Now, there are a couple of websites that I always like to comment on, and one of them is a group, an organization that welcomes our heroes home, and they are the ones that you see on the 6 o'clock news who are down at the airports thanking and applauding and hugging our soldiers and sailors and Marines and airmen when they come home. And that group is aheroes-welcome.org. Please contact them if you want to get involved. They're always looking for people to volunteer to go say thank you to our patriots who are working in support of the American dream. Also, there is a sponsor of my show that I always comment on, diggersrealm.com, diggersrealm.com. They are a website that has been tracking and following illegal immigration for about 8 years, so they have great information on there. So please go to diggersrealm.com and check them out. And, of course, you know I say this every time I'm on the air, I am always looking for sponsors and advertisers of this show. So listen, if you're a fan of the truth, as I am, then please contact me through my website, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Get in touch with me. I guarantee I'll make you an offer you cannot refuse. And hey, 2011 looks like it's going to be a better year. I can feel it in my toes. So contact me. Listen, get your message out there through my radio show. There are all kinds of people who listen to The Unsolicited Opinion because they're smart. They love the truth, and I redistribute the truth one word at a time. There is a poem that I want to read to you, and then I'm going to be going to break and bringing my guest on. And this poem, actually, somebody sent me on Facebook today, and I thought it was so relevant. There is no name for this poem, so I'm just going to start at the beginning. Children of tomorrow, I apologize to you on behalf of those in my time for the things we didn't do. We didn't stop the tyrants so your fate could be prevented. We watched them steal our freedom. By our silence, we consented. We didn't choose to circumvent the doom you've not escaped, while the Bill of Rights was murdered and the Constitution raped. Some of us were lazy, others too afraid to think about our children, the ones we have betrayed. I guess we were too busy to be concerned or care to try to ease the burden of the chains we made you wear. We could have been good shepherds when the wolf got in the fold, but we watched the flame of freedom die instead and left you cold. I'm sorry we were timid, my selfish generation, for we left you but a remnant of a free and prosperous nation. I'm sorry for our actions, like cowards we behaved. We could have left you freedom, but instead you are enslaved. Children of tomorrow, descendants of our land, I'm sorry we allowed this, the fate you now withstand. The author of that poem is unknown, but, hey, no truer words were ever spoken. It's sad that more American people aren't standing up and speaking out and fighting for freedom and liberty, because that really is at what stake, and is at what is at stake. And this is the fate we are dooming the children, our children, and the future generations of Americans to if we don't stop this tyrannical assault against our freedom and liberty. Now, I want to announce who my guest is today. His name is Peter Brimelow, and he has a website which is vdare.com. That's V as in Virginia, dare.com. And he is a journalist. He has written for Forbes, National Review Online, The Wall Street Journal, and he is also the author of a book entitled Alien Nation, Common Sense About America's Immigration Disaster. Now, we are going to go to break, and when we come back, I'm going to bring Peter Brimelow on, and I'm sure you're going to be very interested to hear what this very, very bright man has to say about what's happening with illegal immigration in our country. So hang on, everybody. We're going to go to break. You are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and my name is Maggie, and we will be back in about a minute and a half. Hang on.
What would a $3,000 car repair bill do to your budget? A vehicle protection plan from Five Star Auto Protection can save you thousands in repairs. Your auto insurance won't cover a $3,000 transmission repair, but we will. If your car has less than 130,000 miles, give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help eliminate costly car repair bills. Call us now. Call 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. Plans not available in all states for all vehicles. See agreement for complete terms. These days, we all need to save money where we can. As your car gets older, it will have mechanical problems. Don't get caught with a $2,000 or even $5,000 repair bill. If your factory warranty is about to expire or you have no warranty coverage at all, an extended vehicle protection plan can save you thousands. We pay for 100% of your covered repairs, and we pay the dealer or your preferred mechanic directly for you. No more hassle with reimbursements. The number to call is 800-837-7554. There is no one-size-fits-all to vehicle protection plans. At A-Plus Auto Protection, we work with BBB-rated providers to offer a full menu of plans ranging from platinum coverage to basic plans that cover the most costly engine and transmission repairs. We do the comparison shopping for you, so you save money with our discounts. For a limited time, also receive roadside assistance, towing, and rentals, but you must call now. Call 800-837-7554. 800-837-7554. 800-837-7554.
At all plans available in all states for all vehicles.
He's been working all week. He's got mental fatigue. And that old couch sure looks fine.
Hi, everybody. This is Maggie, and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and I am pleased to welcome my guest, Peter Brimelow, to my show, and he has a website that he is the founder of, which is called VDare, that is V as in Virginia Dare, .com. He is also a journalist, and he has written for Forbes magazine, National Review Online, and The Wall Street Journal, and he is an author of the book entitled Alien Nation, Common Sense About America's Immigration Disaster. So welcome, The Unsolicited Opinion.
Thank you for having me on, Maggie. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you, too. So tell me, Peter, how did you get involved in this whole immigration fight?
Well, as you can instantly tell from my accent, Maggie, I'm an immigrant myself. I've been here 40 years this last September. Immigrants typically don't have the romantic view of immigration that the American intellectuals do, because they've been through the system and they know how paradoxical it is and how difficult. In the early 90s, 92, I wrote a long piece for National Review, reviewing the economics and the politics of immigration, and I concluded that this great wave of immigration that was kicked off by the 65 Act was a catastrophe. Even back then, the consensus among labor economists was that it did no benefit, it brought no benefit to native-born, that they couldn't have, in aggregate, that they couldn't have achieved by themselves. So the whole country's basically been transformed for nothing. And the reaction to that article was very, very strong. And for a while, and, when I was a senior editor at National Review, we used to cover the issue. And then around about 97, Bill Buckley got cold feet. And so he fired all the people who were involved in that issue. And the National Review just regressed the Republican norm. And at that point, I published the book in 95, Alienation. So we founded VDare.com to basically provide facts and analysis, which at that point you simply were not getting in the mainstream media, liberal or conservative.
Yeah, well,
because the immigration issue was a civil war within the conservative movement, basically, because as long as George W. Bush was president, he was constantly pushing for more immigration and for amnesty and so on. And now things are much better because the issue is precipitating out along political lines. You know, the Republican Party is against mass immigration, and the Democrats are in favor of it, so maybe we'll get something done now.
Well, if you go back to 1965, I mean, who was the person who was pushing that whole change in our immigration patterns in this country? Of course, it was no one other than illustrious Ted Kennedy, who always didn't, practice what he did, practice what you preach, do as I say, don't do as I do, kind of a thing. He's the biggest hypocrite I know on two feet, or was anyway, but, you know, he played such a significant role in changing the immigration and what countries people emigrated from.
Whether he knew what he was doing or not. I mean, he gave the most explicit assurances that none of the things which subsequently have happened would happen. That is to say, there wouldn't be this great wave of immigration. He specifically mentioned 1 million a year, which has been the case for many years now. The ethnic balance of the mix wasn't going to change, but it did, and so on and so forth. He gave the most explicit assurance on the floor of the Senate this wouldn't happen. But, of course, it did happen, and he never made any move to change it. I also think, and we've actually published this on VDare, there's some evidence that the people in the County Justice Department who designed the bill actually knew what they were doing. They just wanted to elect a new people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? I really believe, because I've been following sustainable development for a couple of months, because I just stumbled upon it a couple months ago. But part of that whole United Nations Agenda 21 is unrestricted, unlimited immigration, that borders are unfair, they are unjust, therefore they need to be eliminated. And so this falls right in the whole scheme of things. Let's just totally pretend borders don't exist, and we'll have a free movement of peoples, and then they will collapse economies because it is unsustainable to have so many people on the receiving end of taxpayer dollars.
Well, the environmentalists are in a hopeless contradiction on this, of course, because the more people are in the U.S., the greater the U.S.'s carbon footprint, because Americans do use a lot of resources. They produce a lot, too, but they use a lot of resources. So the simplest thing that the environmentalists could do is, you know, to conserve the environment is simply to stop population growth. And the population growth in this country now is driven by immigration. It's not. Americans of all races have got their family sizes down to the point where the population would stabilize about where it is now. But in about 300 million, but instead, because of immigration, it's likely to go up to 450, maybe even 500 million by 2050.
Yeah.
So everywhere between you in Philadelphia and me up here in the Connecticut Berkshire is going to be one long strip mall.
Yeah, a hell of a thought too, isn't it?
Well, you know, it puzzles me. The Sierra Club, you know, used to be against immigration, then it changed its mind. And the leaders of the Sierra Club fought a very vicious battle against insurgents within the club about 5 years ago to prevent them going back to their anti-immigration policy. It turned out this was because they'd been given $40 million by a hedge fund operator called Michael Gelbaum, who told them that he'd given this money, and he had spent a lot of money on conserving land and so on, but they must never speak about immigration because it would dishonor the memory of his grandfather from the Ukraine. There's a lot of emotion in this immigration issue.
Well, sure,
it's not on the people opposed to immigration. By and large, I think we make the most rational arguments because, well, for one thing, you're only allowed to make rational arguments about immigration. But it's on the pro-immigration side that you see the emotion.
Well, you know, I mean, sure, it's a very emotional issue, but laws are laws, and the reason why people want to come to this country is because it has been a nation of laws which has allowed it to prosper and be the great nation that it's been, because there was a rule of law that was followed, not a rule of man, a rule of law.
Right.
And so these people that come from third world countries, ignoring our laws, are bringing exactly what they left with them.
Yes, that's right. We've just run a piece about a town called Bell in California, which has been the entire government of which is under indictment for corruption. Well, it sounds odd on its face until you realize that this town is now 99% Mexican. And they're not doing anything unusual. They're just operating as they would have done in Mexico.
Right.
If you fill up a country with Mexicans, eventually it becomes Mexico. Well, it's not to say there aren't Mexicans who can form. We get readers all the time. Excuse me. We get emails from readers all the time who are Hispanics and so on and say they don't like what's going on. The immigration, you know, the impact of immigration falls upon American Hispanics, first of all, because they're directly competing with illegals in the workforce.
Sure. Well, but the reality is that people are striving to come to this country. Well, a lot of them are just looking for the free lunch, but the reality is that they're looking for a land of opportunity. And by mere virtue of their sheer numbers and their failure to assimilate into this culture...
They change it.
Exactly. Yeah. So they change it to exactly what they left. So they're not gaining anything. They're
That's
gaining
right.
a few years of time before it collapses, but the ultimate inevitability is that this will collapse. It's inevitable because you can only put so much weight on something before it bursts.
There's a push factor, too, of course. I mean, the situation in Mexico in particular is pretty dire right now. One of the interesting things about these WikiLeaks leaks is that it turns out that despite what George Bush and Obama have been saying about how wonderful Mexico is, the State Department thinks Mexico's about to blow up.
Well... you know, anybody with half a brain just watching the mainstream media, which rarely ever tells the truth, just watching some of the things that you see about the violence down there,
right.
I mean, you'd have to be an absolute moron with about 5 brain cells not to recognize that the country's on fire.
That's right. But, you know, people often say to me, you know, well, you're an immigrant and you're saying that you're in now you're in the lifeboat, you want to pull the ladder. But the question is the lifeboat going to capsize? There's a certain point at which the capacity of the lifeboat is used up, and I'm in my view, the U.S. has reached that point.
Well, I would have to agree with you at this point because people aren't assimilating. You have to have, for a nation to succeed, you have to have like-minded individuals in that nation. You can't have factions. You can't have a balkanization of different groups because it won't work. It never has. It never will.
The great bulk of the inflow... since the 65 Act, and at VDare.com, we're very critical of legal immigration policy as well as illegal immigration policy. The great bulk of that inflow is unskilled, and that's quite new in American history. Typically, immigrants were more skilled than the native-born. Now they're less skilled, and one of the reasons for this is the nature of the welfare state. You know, if you fail in the workforce, there's all kinds of subsidies, basically, to workers here once they get here. From the taxpayer, and illegals are not supposed to get them. Illegals do get them. Refugees get them in spades, but illegals aren't supposed to get them. But of course, their American-born children get them. So what's happening is that the taxpayer is basically subsidizing a very large, rapidly growing poverty population in the U.S. that is being brought in from Mexico and the rest of the Third World. It's a real paradox. Why are the Americans doing this? Why are they bringing in this poverty population and paying it to stay? You know, that's one of the questions we ask you at VDare.com. We haven't had any good answers, but that's the question we keep asking.
Well, I think personally, from my perspective, Peter, if you're looking to change our system of government into a one-world global government, then the best way to do that is collapse all the systems that have some different form of government so that they can all be united into one.
Well, I'm sure that one of the reasons why, you know, under the Bush administration, interior enforcement, workplace enforcement against illegal immigration collapsed by a factor of 95%. And it's just an odd thing that they just did. And when we started to put it out, they changed the CITIC, the basis of reporting, so it's hard to figure out what's going on now. I think that they were convinced that they were going to be able to get an after through. They were going to be able to go further with this hemispheric integration that they want between Canada and the U.S. and Mexico. They were going to unify the labor force in North America. And so why would they bother about illegal immigration? Because it's all going to be legal soon. I think that is something that was in the back of the minds of the Bush people.
Sure.
Years ago I used to work for a Republican senator, and I have to say the Republican Party has not distinguished itself here. Fortunately, they're under Bush and so on. Fortunately, what's happening now is much better. There's real signs of hope in the Congress, in the House particularly. For example, there's talk of Congressman King is apparently going to push a birthright citizenship bill, which would end birthright citizenship, so you no longer have this ridiculous situation of illegal aliens getting here, having children, the children American citizens, they're immediately eligible for all kinds of welfare, and you can't deport the parents.
Well, because the reality is the intent of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution pertained to slaves.
Absolutely.
And the children of slaves. It didn't pertain to illegal aliens coming from Mexico or any other country.
No. That's right. It's not impossible that the Supreme Court could find against this thing. Find that the decision made over 100 years ago was wrong. But obviously, the best thing to do is to put through a statute or even constitutional amendment if necessary.
Well,
it's got to be done because you know there's 500,000 births to illegal mothers in California every year, and that California is right on the verge of ceasing to be an American state.
Oh yeah, well you know, and not only that, I mean, just I can tell you, probably, and this was a stat I had from about 3 or 4 years ago because I've been following the illegal immigration issue, maybe not to the extent obviously that you have, Peter, but I've been closely watching it for about the last 7 years, and I can tell you, in California alone, about 3 years ago at that time, there were like 86 hospitals that had closed because they went bankrupt because they were providing uncompensated care. They were overwhelmed. They were swamped by illegal aliens. And
that's the
reality. There's only so many people can fit in a lifeboat. That's just life.
Right. That was a particularly fascinating case of the way in which this sort of these transfer payments work. I said earlier that illegal aliens, immigrants in general, are eligible for transfer for payments of various types from the federal and state governments. In the case of the hospitals, what they did was they just passed a mandate requiring the hospitals to treat people. So this was something that monies which never went through the government's books. It was just a straight transaction where the hospital had to treat these people. They never paid. So what was the hospital going to do? Well, what they do, of course, is they charge people who do have insurance. And it's a major reason for the healthcare insurance crisis because these hospitals are billing, charging Americans to try and they can't get blood out of a stone. They've got to get the money from somewhere.
Exactly.
So they're going to charge American the middle class. Basically, it's one reason for the healthcare crisis is immigration in general and illegal immigration in particular.
Peter, we're going to go to a break real quick, and then we'll be back. We've been talking with Peter Brimelow from the website V as in Virginia Dare. .com. Everyone, you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. My name is Maggie, and we'll be back in about a minute and a half, so hang on, everybody.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now at 800-221-9442 and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishments, and collections. We won't waste a minute helping you with your tax problems. We'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. We've settled millions of dollars of tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking on your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-221-9442. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-221-9442. That's 800-221-9442. Again, 800-221-9442.
Listeners, here's a simple way to earn quit your job money from home. IncomeAtHome34.com has come to us for listeners who want to work from home.
I have to tell you, it's the best decision that I ever made because we replaced my income and my husband's income. This business has allowed us to quit our jobs, and we're both at home full-time and loving it. Best decision I ever made.
They're even giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. Visit IncomeAtHome34.com. That's IncomeAtHome34.com.
I don't remember loving you, and I don't recall the things you say you put me through. You tell me that you've had a guilty conscience.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie, and you are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and I'm speaking this afternoon with Peter Brimelow. He is the creator of a website called VDare.com. That is as in virginiadare.com, and he is also a journalist, has written for Forbes, National Review Online, The Wall Street Journal, and he is also the author of a book entitled Alien Nation, Common Sense About America's Immigration Disaster, and a disaster it is indeed. So where did we leave off, Peter? What were we talking about?
Well, perhaps I could take the opportunity Maggie, that you know, Alien Nation, which came out in 95, it's very difficult to discuss this issue in the mainstream media. Alien Nation was kind of a cult success when it came out, but things are much worse now, and it's very hard to get books on immigration published. I know that Bob Buchanan is having a lot of trouble with his most recent book. Anyway, the point is that HarperCollins let Alien Nation go out of print in 2006, and I just made it available as a free download on the site.
Okay.
So anybody who goes to vdare.com can download that book for free.
And you know,
I think, you know, the bad news is that the MSM, the mainstream media, is totally hopeless on immigration. The good news is that they're dying, you know, and talk radio and websites and so on are part of all that.
Well, you know what, Peter, that just the fact that people won't tell the truth anymore should be a big wake-up call to the American people, that when you're being fed a line of horse manure, that at some point in time you've got to wake up and smell the coffee or the poop, one or the other, because
right.
Something's very wrong here in this country. And when you have censorship to the extent that we do, is that freedom? Censorship isn't freedom. They don't go hand in hand. They're not equal.
Right.
They're exact opposites.
You know, as you know, I've been active. I've been working in the mainstream media and financial journalism for, you know, most of the last four decades. And there's a lot of subjects you just can't address.
Well, because people don't like the truth.
I'm sorry?
I said people don't want to hear the truth because our political correctness is rotting us. And I personally, Peter, that's not how I operate. I call a spade and a hoe, and if you don't like it, I don't really care. I don't
right.
care about the Southern Poverty Law Center. I don't care about the Anti-Defamation League. I don't care about Janet Napolitano. I don't care about any of those other race hustlers. They can go pound salt as far as I'm concerned, because on my show we talk about the truth whether you like it or not. I don't care. Don't listen.
Right. I mean, you know, that's one of the wonderful things about talk radio. Well, in print journalism, and I've been in print all of my life, it really is very hard to get you know, away from the sort of liberal consensus. They just don't like it. I first started trying to write about immigration when I was at Fortune magazine back in the early 80s, and they just ran into a brick wall. They just didn't want to hear that anything could possibly be wrong with immigration.
Well, isn't it it's the most illogical, self-defeating position that these people have taken, Peter, because all they're doing is signing their own death warrant, aren't they?
Aren't they signing
the death of the Western civilization,
right.
This culture in this country, if they continue to put their heads in the sand?
Absolutely, and you know, it's particularly interesting. I was reading something by James Carville recently, saying that the most recent reapportionment is going to favor Republicans because the red states have grown in population. But in the long run, he said, and he meant just like 20 years, the Democrats are going to win because of the demographic changes in the country. Well, those demographic changes are because of immigration. So what he's saying is that Americans are going to be outvoted by foreigners,
right.
And the Democrats seem to think that this is a good idea. But the curious thing is, of course, that they're not going to benefit from this. What's going to happen is a lot of these liberals are going to find they're going to be voted out by whatever ethnic group has taken over their local district. In many cases, it'll be Hispanics, but in some cases, it'll be Vietnamese and Asians and goodness knows what else. So the people like Harry Reid are going to have a big surprise when they'll find they will lose control of their own party.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, because it's the dumbest thing. They're shooting themselves in the foot, but they don't get it. And it's just interesting to me that they really think, you know, I always think of the seats at a table, and everybody thinks that, hey, if they play the cards right and play this game or that con or whatever, that somehow they're going to be on the inside looking out and they're going to have a seat at the table, but there's only a certain number of seats at that table,
right.
And they forget
realize
that.
In the short run, and even the medium-term run, there are people who do benefit from immigration. I did say earlier on that in aggregate, Americans don't benefit, but certain groups among Americans benefit enormously. You know, typically, I know, you know, it's amazing to say from a long-time conservative, but it's the owners of capital who benefit because it beats down wages. And George Borjas, who's the leading economist in this area at Harvard, has calculated that something between 2 and 3% of gross domestic product is transferred from labor to capital by by this immigrant influx. So that explains why this immigration issue, among powerful American nationalists, it's a class issue. It's a savage attack on the working standard of the American working class, and it benefits the wealthy, basically. And it's a very nasty thing to see, and it's particularly distressing for me, as I say, I'm a kind of recovering Republican, to find that many of my fellow Republicans actually went along with this. They were quite happy to see this happen.
Sure.
Which is one reason why I think that I personally think the Republican Party is doomed. I think it will break up and be replaced by another party.
Well, I think so. I think so, too. I mean, it's, you know, the system has been so set up that it makes it so difficult for a third party to rise. But
yeah.
That's exactly what needs to happen, unless people such as conservative, in terms of conservative, I think of a conservative as someone who wants to conserve liberty and freedom. That's what I think of when I define the word conservative. Unless people who want to conserve liberty and freedom decide to get in the game and take over the Republican Party and turn it back to its roots of small, limited government and maximum freedom, then the Republican Party, they're no different than the Democratic Party. They're just the opposite side of the same slice of bread.
Well, they both go, it's the left and right wing of the government party, what it comes down to.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and what we saw, of course, from 94 through 2006 was that the Republican Party very rapidly went native in Washington, and was very happy to, you know, have earmarks and increase government spending, and so as long as it was on their own constituencies. I don't think that's going to be available, going to last much longer. It's obvious to everybody that the elite in the parties, and the polls show this, grassroots Republicans are very bitter about their leaders. They feel they're completely out of touch with the base, and of course they're right.
Well, they are. They are. And you know, for the number of people that have gone to Washington and marched on Washington in the November election, if that was any indication of what the people wanted, the Republicans didn't hear the message. They had their feet stuck in their ears. They weren't listening because they continued to go along and vote for more government spending, which is exactly what the majority of Americans do not want. Unless you're in line looking for a handout, you don't want that. Because it's only costing
you. The thing about the immigration policy, Maggie, is it's inherently discriminatory. You've got to choose somebody between people. And what the system does right now, I'm talking here about the legal system, it actually chooses lesser skilled workers over more skilled workers. And so the result is that these are people who typically immediately get embroiled in government programs because they're not earning very much and they get into trouble, and they're very vulnerable to downturns in the economy and so on. There's a tremendous transfer of wealth, really, from the American taxpayer to this immigrant population. It would be possible to have more skilled immigrants, and they wouldn't have this problem. But we can't do that unless we discuss immigration policy. And right now, nobody wants to discuss it, at least not in the mainstream media, among the political elites.
Well, sure. And if you brought in more skilled, if the numbers you chose were skilled workers as opposed to unskilled people, then those skilled workers would add to the economy because they wouldn't be a subtraction; they'd be an addition to it. They might start businesses and employ people. You know,
the problem with what's happened here is that, America is a very flexible society, and its ability to attract immigrants was a great asset to it. But in the last 40-odd years, that has just been completely frittered away. There's been this enormous influx of immigration, and I just don't see how any kind of immigration, even skilled immigration, can go on now. There has to be a moratorium. There has to be a long period, 10, 15 years, where there's no net immigration at all, while we sort out the damage from this wave and ask the Americans, do they actually want to have 500 million people living here or 300 million people? On all these questions that should have been asked in 1965 but weren't.
No. Well, but you know what? When you have elitists who are running the show and making these rules, and they're the ones who control the rules of the game, then they're never affected by the choices and the rules that they set down. Those rules apply to other people. They don't apply to them. I mean, the rules that Teddy Kennedy was pushing for, none of the outcome affected him.
He drove
in his chauffeured limousines. He ate the best food. He drank the best booze. He flew around in his private jets. He was never meeting and greeting with the elites on the street, or, you know, the people on the street. It was all a hustle.
You know, when I was at Forbes magazine, they used to have a party every year out at the Forbes estate in Far Hills. And one year I was standing in line with my plastic plate to get my lasagna or whatever it was. And a guy came up to me, and he was obviously a working man, and he said, "Are you Peter Brimlow?" Very fierce, and I admitted I was. And he said, "Oh, well, I've got a copy of your book, Alien Nation, I want you to sign it. And it turned out he was a worker on the Forbes estate. You know, he went around cutting down trees and all that kind of thing. Now, he's exactly the kind of person who's most at risk from the current influx, because it's more going to be very easy to fire him and hire 15 illegal Mexicans. And bluntly, that's what I think is going on. And you see it also in places like Martha's Vineyard, you know. I mean, there used to be a time when, which is, you know, the great democratic haven up there. There was a... I'm sorry, my German Shepherd is barking. Can I throw him out?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, there was a time when college kids used to go up there and work in the summer in the hotels and so on. Now it's all done by Brazilian illegal immigrants, which is great for the wealthy Democrats. They don't, you know, but it's terrible for the kids, you know. And of course, bringing illegal immigrants means that they bring their families in and they dump the costs fall on the welfare system and the education system and so on. So it's actually a rotten deal for America, but it's great for the very wealthy.
Well, you know, I was just reading something the other day, and this was a man who was applying for a job, and I don't know if it was a McDonald's, some you know, fast food or some, you know, minimum wage, entry-level type position out in California, and he asked for it. The application they gave him was in Spanish.
Yes, Spanish.
And he asked for one in English, and they said, we don't have any in English.
Right, that's right. I've had a lot of email from the heartland and places like Eastern Oregon and so on, where people have just realized that employers like McDonald's and very often hotels are insisting on what they call bilingual, which is practically going to mean Spanish-speaking employees. And that's something that's going to have to be stomped on, because what it means is that monolingual Americans are at a disadvantage in the workforce.
Right.
I think that there's going to have to be legislation to prevent employers from doing that, because otherwise, what happens is you discriminate in favor of Hispanic immigrants.
Right.
People don't realize how... I lived in Canada for some years. They don't realize how devastating what what we call the public choice consequences of bilingualism are in institutions. And in effect, it materially disadvantages people who only speak one language.
Well, you know what also? Just think of the cost that's expended in this country, Peter, on every single government level and in the schools and that, where things have to be written in how many languages? Not just Spanish and English, but how many languages do we accommodate all our government forms and everything to be written in?
I believe it's over 60 at the moment. And if you're in a trial, you can insist that you be spoken to in your own language, and very often some of these languages have no written form, you know, some of these African languages and so on, but they've got to find an interpreter.
Right.
Of course, that wasn't the case in the last great wave of immigration.
No, but people wanted to be, to assimilate
into
this culture.
They had no bilingual education. You had to go into English immersion and de facto English immersion, and if you'd committed a crime and got involved in the legal system, the judicial system, and you couldn't make yourself understood, that was too bad for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to take another break real quick.
One of the big differences between the current wave and the great wave between the 1880s and 1920s, when I'm sure many of your listeners' families came in, is that in those days there was no welfare state. And I define it very, very broadly to include public education. Most Americans did dropped out of school in the seventh grade or something like that. And so it made this huge difference that in the last great wave, a very high proportion of the people who came in went back.
Yeah.
Something like 40%. In some groups, like Italians, it was as high as 90%. And we don't think about that. Although, if you go to Ellis Island, you see, they do, to their great credit, they have a section in the museum there discussing it. Well, now, net immigration, the numbers of people, net immigration is like 90% of gross immigration. In other words, almost everybody who comes here stays. And you can see the reason.
Well, because they get a free lunch.
In the workforce, or you had trouble of various types, you know, there was no welfare state. You went back to the old country and your family looked after you.
Yeah.
But now, if you're fair in the workforce, there is a welfare state. And not only that, but if your kids are in school, that's a transfer payment to you of something like $8,000 a year, you know, per pupil, annual per pupil cost in this country, about $8,000 a year. That's like four times the growth, the per capita GDP of Haiti. So there's tremendous subsidization of immigrant presence going on, and that's why we don't see immigrants going back anymore.
Yeah.
And it means that it makes a big difference, because it means you get discontented people staying. They're staying because of the money, but they don't like the country.
Well, no, it's obvious when you see them standing on an American flag and spitting on it and burning on it, burning it up, and saying that they're going to kill us with their hammers and shovels and that stuff. And listen, on that note, Peter, we're going to go to break, and we will be back in about a minute and a half. Everybody, you are listening to Peter Brimelow from the website VDare.com. You are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and we will be right back in about a minute and a half. Everybody, hang on.
These days, we all need to save money where we can. As your car gets older, it will have mechanical problems. Don't get caught with a $2,000 or even $5,000 repair bill. If your factory warranty is about to expire or you have no warranty coverage at all, an extended vehicle protection plan can save you thousands. We pay for 100% of your covered repairs, and we pay the dealer or your preferred mechanic directly for you. No more hassle with reimbursements. The number to call is 800-837-7554. There is no one-size-fits-all to vehicle protection plans. At A-Plus Auto Protection, we work with rated providers to offer a full menu of plans ranging from platinum coverage to basic plans that cover the most costly engine and transmission repairs. We do the comparison shopping for you, so you save money with our discounts. For a limited time, also receive roadside assistance, towing, and rentals, but you must call now. Call 800-837-7554. 800-837-7554. 800-837-7554.
At all plans available in all states for all vehicles.
What would a $3,000 car repair bill do to your budget? A vehicle protection plan from Five Star Auto Protection can save you thousands in repairs. Your auto insurance won't cover a $3,000 transmission repair, but we will if your car has less than 130,000 miles. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help eliminate costly car repair bills. Call us now. Call 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388.
Plans not available in all states for all vehicles. See agreement for complete terms.
Oh, I wish that I could hurt that way again. At least I had you every now and then.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie, and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And as always, you can contact me via my website, which is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. And this afternoon, I am speaking with Peter Brimelow, who is from the website VDare.com, that's like VirginiaDare.com. He is also a journalist, has written for Forbes, National Review, Wall Street Journal, and he is also the author of a book entitled Alien Nation, Common Sense About America's Immigration Disaster. And he just informed me that actually you can find that book. It is no longer in print. I'm sure maybe you can find a used copy somewhere, but you can also find his book in PDF format available on his website. His website is theasinvirginiadare.com. So check out his website. Please go there and check out all the valuable information that he has. And we left off talking about which aspect of immigration, Peter.
Well, we were just talking on the break, Maggie, about our children. I just had a child, a daughter this year at my advanced age, and you were talking about your nephews and nieces. And you know, she's born in 2010. What's the like world going to be like for her? According to the current census projections, you know, American whites will go into a minority somewhere about 2040 when she'll be 30 years old. You know, and I'm going to say frankly that when you say American whites, these are people who until about the 1960s would have been referred to as Americans. It's what everybody thought you know, there was no argument then. There was no idea or concept of European Americans. The Americans were what are now called American whites. The country will not survive this, I don't think. I just don't think it can handle this kind of factionalism that's going to develop as a result of this. I mean, there's never been an ethnic transformation in the history of the world that I'd like to compare with this one. There's no reason to suppose it's going to work.
Well, because it doesn't work anywhere, Peter. Balkanization of groups of people based upon their cultures and their languages, it doesn't work. You can't have one unified people when you have people who don't assimilate. When you don't have people who want to become American, it just doesn't work.
You see that they do differ absolutely systematically and dramatically by ethnicity and race. You know, John McCain carried 55% of the white vote in 2008, And I happen to think that McCain was a terrible candidate and on the wrong side of the immigration issue and so on, but he still got 55% of the white vote. And if you extrapolate that backwards and adjust for the demographic shift brought about by immigration, you find that if Gerald Ford had gotten 55% of the vote, white vote against Jimmy Carter in 76, he would have won. In other words, McCain ran significantly better among American whites than Ford did, because of the shifting ethnic balance caused by immigration, it wasn't good enough. Every so often we do calculations on VDare.com as to what the Republicans need to keep winning elections, and they basically need to turn out their white base, which they've never done very, very successfully. But as years go on, it will get harder, but it's still very possible to do.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, Peter, is because you're labeled as, and anybody who speaks out against illegal immigration or copious numbers of legal immigrants and wants to have a unified country, it's automatically labeled a racist, or you're labeled a white supremacist, or you're labeled whatever label they want to put on you, which, of course, is totally inaccurate and misses the point entirely, because this isn't about a supremacy of one race over another. It's about common sense, and it's about a cohesiveness of people and what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, as you say, anybody who gets involved in the immigration issue is going to be called a racist, and they've been doing that now. Even back in '65, Kennedy called anybody who questioned his projections as a hater and all this stuff, that, you know, all these terms that the Southern Poverty Law Center has made so famous. You just have to resign yourself. If we're going to discuss immigration, you're going to be called a racist. That's all there is to it. It's kept the issue out of debate for 40 years. The other side is very happy with it being out of debate, and they intend to continue keeping it out of debate. And so we just have to, you know. In other words, my position is to hell with political correctness. We've just got to get past this.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Peter. Why would we want to have our country be other thing other than a Western civilization-based country? Why would
exactly,
we want
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want that.
Well, if we did, at least let's ask the question.
Well,
we should
you're
be
right.
transforming it without even asking the question. We should go to the American people and say, do you want to cease being a Western country? But at the moment, it's just being done without any debate at all.
Exactly.
You know,
it's being done.
Race, one of the really paradoxical things about modern immigration policy is that... And I got into a lot of trouble with alienation because I referred to the fact that my son had blue eyes and blonde hair.
Oh, Christ.
So everybody thought this was a neo-Nazi.
Oh, you were evil.
Just one reference. And it was in the absolutely unimpeachable context of the interaction between affirmative action, quotas, and immigration. What I was saying was, it's the paradox that if an immigrant comes into this country and he falls into one of the so-called protected classes for quota purposes, in other words, if he's colored or something, he's immediately preferred ahead of somebody who's not a member of the protected classes, as Alexander, who's native-born American, is not, you see. So, in other words, what we're doing is, it's not just a question of subsidizing them financially. They're being subsidized through legal pressures to hire more and more minorities and so on.
Well, yeah.
And immigrants will do.
Exactly.
I mean, it's amazing to me that Hispanics qualify for affirmative action quotas. I mean, I thought these quotas were there to benefit the descendants of the slaves.
Well, exactly, to rectify the wrongs that were done 125 years ago to blacks in this country, and so the whole purpose of affirmative action was to benefit the blacks, not another group, just the black community
right.
in this country.
Well, in fact, I mean, now there are more Hispanics than in the country than there are blacks. I must say, it's astonishing to me that... We get mail from black African Americans about immigration, and there is a number of very good writers on the subject, Elizabeth Wright and so on, but the black leadership is utterly hopeless. They just won't. The congressional leadership is absolutely awful on immigration, and all I can think is that they it's particularly odd because it's their constituents who are the main victims of immigration.
Well,
we run a regular thing on the VDare. Every time the unemployment numbers come out, we analyze them to see the job numbers, who's actually getting these new jobs. And what you find is that over the last 10 years, you know, native-born Americans, their employment is down over the last 10 years, but the employment of Hispanics has increased by a factor of 50 or 60%.
Right.
In other words, they are actually crowding Americans out of the workforce. immigrants and Hispanics. And, of course, the people who really suffer from it are African-Americans, because they're directly competing very often with these relatively unskilled immigrants.
Sure.
And yet the leadership, black leadership, says nothing.
Well, because they, you know what? Because they've been making a lot of money off of hustling race, and so if they were to admit that there's a problem with the number of Hispanics being allowed to immigrate into this country, then they wouldn't have the race hustle that they have.
Well,
they've been making
Jackson and Al Sharpton have been making millions of dollars
hustling race.
Yeah, I'm afraid what it comes down to is that they hate blacks more than they love whites more than they love blacks. They don't really care what happens to their own black constituents. They just want to displace and damage the American whites.
Yeah, it seems rather evident, I would say. You know, and it's really unfortunate because I look at things from a fair perspective, and right versus wrong, not white versus black or black versus white. I'm looking at what's right for all concerned, and
right, that's
you know,
right.
They miss that point. They miss that basic premise.
I mean, we've been arguing on VDare.com for a long time that the most popular thing the Republican Party could do in terms of appealing to blacks is to take up the cause of immigration reform. It won't help them with black intellectuals and the black leadership, but they're never going to vote for Republicans anyway.
No.
But the polls show that the grassroots African Americans are acutely aware of this problem and don't like it. So, you know, and then, of course, the fact is Republicans have nowhere to go but up with the black vote. I mean, they got, what, less than 10% last time.
I have a friend who's out in Los Angeles who's been very active against illegal immigration. You may have heard of him, Ted Hayes. I don't know if you
Yes, of course, yes.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, he's very well aware, and a lot of people in the black community are very well aware of what's happening in some of their communities. When there is such an influx of illegal immigrations into the community, they are knocked out of their own community, so...
Right.
I mean,
one of the tragic things that happened this year, of course, was Terry Anderson, who was a Los Angeles talk show host, died.
Mm-hmm.
He was from South Central. He was a black auto mechanic, and he got interested in the issue, and he was very outspoken. And he died, unfortunately, of leukemia at a very early age. So that was a heavy loss this year.
Yeah, definitely. So what do you think, this whole DREAM Act thing, do you think they're going to try to hammer that in some other way, Peter? Here's the thing with the DREAM Act. The people still get to stay here anyway.
Right.
I mean, it's not like anybody's leaving. Nobody's being forced to leave. No one is being evicted.
Right.
Everybody gets to stay.
I mean, unfortunately, yes. I mean, the conventional sort of take on the DREAM Act was, you know, they shouldn't punish the children for the sins of the past. But, of course, they weren't punishing them. No, nobody's punishing these children. They're just not being rewarded. They were
exactly.
Just not being rewarded with reduced tuition and so on. There's a difference between not being rewarded and being punished. I think the immigration reform people, what we call patriotic immigration reform people, distinguish them from George Bush's type of immigration reform, inside the Beltway, they think that the amnesties are all dead in the water now, the various efforts to get amnesties through, and that you might actually see some really interesting legislation. In other words, the patriotic side will be able to go on the offensive this year, at least in the House. And birthright citizenship is one of the key things. The Democrats and the immigrants hate the idea of birthright citizenship reform because it really slows down the process of reconquista, you know.
Right.
And it's a real hot-button issue for them, and they're shrieking about it, and it's going to be a tremendous fight. But it's great because it's actually... You see, when I was first involved in this issue, you know, Maggie, you couldn't anybody talk about immigration at all. But now it is surfacing. Even if this bill can't be passed in the House in this session, it should be voted on. Everybody should be made to vote up or down, and then they should go to the American people and explain to them why they voted this way on this birthright citizenship legislation, which is, you know, the birthright citizenship question. It's overwhelmingly unpopular among Americans. If you ask them about it, they think it's ludicrous and absurd that the children of illegal immigrants are treated as American citizens. It's just the political elite that doesn't want to change it.
Well, no. No, because why would they want to change something that they make a lot of money off of?
Yes, money is the key because, of course, for the Republican Party, this is suicide what they're doing. And it's extraordinary that the more I think about those amnesty efforts by George Bush in 2006 and 2007, the less I understand what he thought he was doing. Because he's just dooming his party in the even short term by bringing these vast numbers of people in.
what, you know, what I think, though, if the agenda is a global government, a new world order, as George Bush Sr. said back in 92 or 93, if that's the goal, then what they're doing by not doing anything makes perfect sense. If their goal is to have a one world government and not have a government of the United States of America, then just allowing this unfettered immigration and illegal immigration and not doing anything about it achieves that objective.
I think that's right. That is a major part of it.
You know, I'm
afraid as I say this as a long-time Republican, but it's evidence of the extent to which the party is actually controlled by business interests and so on. You know, and the thing about the businessmen, business interests, you know, they're incredibly short-sighted. Lenin said once that, you know, capitalists would sell us the rope that we will hang them with.
Yeah.
And that's really what's happened with immigration. They're bringing people in here for very, very short-term gain who are going to create a society in which capitalism is not going to flourish.
No, not at all. It will be impossible for it to be maintained, a free market system.
Right.
Absolutely impossible. So I don't know what's the answer, Peter, what do we do?
Well, as I say, I think this has been a good year, and it was a good election. It wasn't as good as it could have been, but because a few really good people lost. But the balance of power shifted, and I think we will start to see legislation coming forward. And I think eventually it'll dawn on even the Republicans that they can win elections on this issue. Excuse me. What we need to see is to have a candidate run in 2012 who is in favor of immigration reform, and it's not impossible that could happen. I mean, at one point in the last election cycle, Tom Tancredo had all the candidates saying they were in favor of immigration reform. And, of course, once John McCain actually won, he reversed himself and went back to the usual pandering.
Sure.
With the usual results. And yeah, that's what happened with Meg Whitman, too. The woman who ran for governor of California spent, you know, $100-odd million while she was under pressure from her primary opponent. She made some good noises about immigration. Then as soon as she won the primary, she went back and started making bad noises about immigration, with the result that she lost.
Yeah.
And eventually this is going to get through their thick skull, but my word, it's taking a long time.
Yeah, well...
But I think there's an excellent chance that that's going to happen in the next election, and we will probably see new heroes emerge very quickly in the new Congress. I
mean, well, we need some
you've got
new
Lou Barlett, of course, there in Pennsylvania, who succeeded finally in winning in that district in western Pennsylvania, the mayor of Hazleton.
That's
a remarkable victory.
Lou Barletta, yeah, exactly.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, well, we need some new blood. We need to totally get rid of these people that are in there and bring some new blood in on every level. That's what needs to happen, is the true American patriots need to run for office and they need to take over. And
it can happen, you know, Maggie. I mean, I remember... I'm old enough to remember the situation in the late 70s, the profound gloom on the American right and the conservative movement after the fall of Vietnam and the victory of Jimmy Carter. But, you know, it turned around very quickly.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of these people who thinks that Ronald Reagan didn't make any difference. I think he made an enormous difference because he was there, because he was president. A lot of awful things that could have happened didn't happen. And some of the things he did, were so successful we've even forgotten about them now. For example, nobody ever thinks about how serious the Cold War was, or for that matter, how serious inflation was.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, Peter, I only have about a minute or so left in the show. I want to thank you so much for coming on my show tonight, Peter, and Happy New Year. And everyone, you have been listening to Peter Brimelow. He is from the website V as in Virginia Dare. com. Please go there. Copious amounts of information this man has been following and reporting on illegal immigration for years. So you're going to find all kinds of information on his website. Peter, thanks so much again for coming on my show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Maggie. Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too. Everybody, you know I love to go to Oz, and Somewhere Over the Rainbow is a wonderful place to be. Keep your chin up, people. There are more of us than there are of them, and Happy New Year. Better days are coming. So hang in there, everybody.
I heard of once in a lullaby somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do. Day I'll win. wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops, that's where